Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Thanks, everybody.
The Bears.
You're listening to the best of the Bears.
He's in for the touchdown, and the Chicago Bears have taken the lead.
A weekly mix of 670 The Score's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
On our Score hotline, it's brought to you by Circus Sports Illinois.
Cool calling.
Hey, Ozzy.
It has been very great news to see you got your own show. You earned it. You deserve it. Now you have it.
Raheemy and Harris on 670 The Score.
I alluded to it last week. There were a lot of objectives we had for the offseason program, and specifically phase one, phase two, phase three, and we met that criteria. I think when these guys walk away, they understand what the expectation level is. I'm pleased with the progress we've made over the last few weeks. Alluded to it last week. We got a lot of work still to come, but we're right on track.
You know who that is by now. That's Ben Johnson. This is Raheemy and Harris on 670 The Score. And we're joined by Mark Grody today, noted Bears reporter, noted jack-of-all-trades show host. Groats, McGoats, you got to go to Hallis Hall last week.
Totes.
Do you have any lasting takeaways from either what you heard out of the Bears players or Ben Johnson when it came to progress checks after the rookies were able to speak?
I think the lasting takeaway is things sound different from the coaching perspective, literally hearing the coaches on the practice field and then subsequently to the lectern. The players sound different. Everything sounds different there, and it should, because there's a new head coach. Things don't yet look different, and they shouldn't. I'm not saying like they have failed the offseason program. To me, although things are going to be a little bit different practice to practice, coach to coach, it's not like things were completely out of control and disorganized, even when, believe it or not, when Matt Eberflus was here during the offseason program. So things don't look – and here's what I mean specifically. The biggest takeaway, too, is like if you really want to get down to it, the offense still has a lot of catching up to do, a lot of work to do. And there were more days during the offseason program where the defense looked better than the offense. So as we conclude this, what it needs to happen when you get to training camp is that there are days stacked together for the offense where we're saying that the offense looks better than the defense, that Caleb Williams, oh, he looked good again. That's the third straight day that Caleb Williams looked good. We have not had that as of yet. Now, two offseason programs in a row for Caleb Williams. Hopefully in training camp we see it.
And to be clear, that's usually what happens at the beginning of a season or during practice or whatever. When you have a bunch of days together, the defense looks stronger to
typically,
start with,
yes,
and
yes,
the offense ramps up, let alone when you're overhauling an offense and having a brand new playbook installed.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, life is easy. Defenses can read and react, and it's a little bit more complicated than that, obviously. Dennis Allen would tell anybody that. But yeah, it is. The offseason is definitely made for the defense to be a little bit ahead of the offense. But there just can't be this feeling of domination that we've seen through the last, I mean, even through all of the quarterbacks, through Trubisky, Justin Fields, and now Caleb Williams, where there's no doubt about it, except for certain moments, that the defense is ahead of the offense, and then the defense isn't necessarily that great. So I just want there to be those days in camp. It's so important that we start to see consistency out of Caleb
You're
Williams.
You're begging right now.
I know. Well, I'm tired of it. You know what I mean? Like, last year it was okay in training camp because it was Caleb Williams, and this is a rookie just starting his NFL journey and his NFL career. So to be out there and be like, okay, the defense played better, but you got two or three really good throws out of Caleb Williams. That was always nice. That was the disclaimer that we would always seem to give. This year, while there's going to be those days where the defense is ahead of the offense, I want to be reporting on the score with a Bears hit. Two words. I want to be able to talk about Caleb Williams stacking good days together, not just stacking a nice throw here and a nice throw there to remind us that he has elite abilities.
Well, it just also hammers the point home that this is something that is so ingrained in team culture, too, where we're so used to it. You're used to watching it. We're used to that being the priority, whether it's ownership saying that, coaches that they've hired, fans. You know, the concept of them being able to work on things like this. Let's even just start with a two-minute drill that executes properly.
Because
wasn't that a big point of emphasis in training camp last year? Even at FanFest, from what fans were able to see on the field, I feel like that was something that was much brought up last season. And that was something that I feel like worked inside out. Like, if your two-minute drill is healthy, then chances are the rest of your offense is, too.
Yeah, and I one of the days that I wasn't at every single practice because I'm here, obviously, but there was one practice that I went. It was the one that I was doing the report for you guys from the sideline, where that probably was Caleb's best day. Like, definitely his best, maybe in the last 2 years in terms of preseason, because, and I'm bringing it up, Layla, because he did execute that two-minute drill back on their own 4-yard line, and he was distressed, chased out of the pocket, finds Alamide Zaccheaus about 25 yards down the field, down the sideline, and in a pinpoint place, and made the connection. And it was just a really good drive, like two really good drives that day. And that's what I want to see more of. And you're right. Like, you want that two-minute drill to be solid. We know that Caleb Williams had some nice moments that were pulled out from under him in the fourth quarter. The Washington game, if you would like, is the big fat example.
Detroit
as well. So you want to keep him running in that same direction in the final 2 minutes of the game. But we're starting to see some of it.
So I'm looking at the position battles, and I know we don't learn a lot until the Pats come on in camp, but from the conversations that you guys were able to have with the players at the podium, the coaches, do you feel like any progress has been made as far as what we should expect in 6 weeks or so when you're looking at left tackle?
Yeah, man. My gut is, and this is just where I am in the last like 48 hours, my gut is that it's going to be Braxton Jones to begin the season, unless there is more to the injury that he's been dealing with. Like, unless he's not ready, lights, camera, action for training camp. If there's a setback, then all bets are off. If he is healthy and all things are equal, my belief is that it's going to be Braxton Jones because Trapillo could take over that job, I think, maybe early in the season, depending on what Braxton Jones looks like. It might be easy to replace him. But Trapillo, played so much right guard in college. I know he played some left tackle, and I know he worked out at left tackle, and I just don't know if it's realistic to think of a guy going into this year, this important season for Caleb Williams and the Bears, and have him start the season at left tackle. I don't know about
that. I get that you want to go with the veteran if he's healthy.
Yeah.
But I think we're still at a big if when it comes to his availability.
I think you're
for
right.
Training camp.
I think
and
you're
this
right.
is very much a new offense and a challenge for him. That's not necessarily saying he can't do it. But the other thing I take away in this is if you look at the three that you're talking about when it comes to who it might be at left tackle, Braxton Jones, fifth round pick, but veteran. Karan Amagaji, third round pick. You mean to tell me that they drafted a 6'8" guy in the second round and they don't think he's going to see playing time as a starter this year?
Well, I think that's what I'm saying. Like, I think he could in the first few weeks of the season, like if Braxton Jones at all shows some vulnerability, like unless Braxton starts and he comes out and he's just great and he can finally handle a bull rush and we're all good and we're all happy about that. But that
I caught that finally.
Yes, the bull rush. But so I think Trapillo, I think he's their left tackle of the future. I'm just saying, like, game one, the way I feel right now is that it's not like you don't want to. Nothing has can come to chance this year after the ripoff of a season that the Bears had last year because of the horrible coaching that they had around. They have put themselves in a position where they can't take risks.
We are talking to Mark Grody. No, actually, that's a lie. We're talking with Mark Grody. He's the one talking to us.
I'm huffing and puffing here right now. Pass the Dutchie, will you?
On Raheemy and
my
Harris.
Word.
Yeah. Where no Dutchies have been passed.
I need to calm myself down.
Episode, but
isn't
that's
that
not
the
to
concept?
Say that he won't pass a Dutchie, or at least try to pass me a Dutchie on our walk home in the South Loop.
I am looking forward to that, by the way. Yeah,
to passing the Dutchie.
No, I just have to walk. we can stop by a place on the way home. If
you know
like.
A place, don't you?
But there's places all over the place.
I knew you would know a place.
There's
though.
Places yeah. don't all put that over on the place.
He's already there, guys.
Places all over
Mark
the place.
Mark Grody is already there.
Hey.
I just think to Layla's point about where they drafted him, and you seem to be more confident that he'll be ready for the start of the season than I guess I am.
Talk about Braxton?
Yeah, the way they're talking about him, it doesn't sound like he's going to get that work early that's needed in training camp with a new offense being installed.
I mean, that's fair. I mean, but could he still be farther ahead of a guy who hasn't played left tackle at the major league level, I was going to say, at the NFL level? Or Karan Amagaji, who we know when he was put in, as bad as the situation as it was.
Bat him clean up.
He looked terrible last year when they put him in. Let's just be honest about that with Karan Amagaji. So, to me, it's like maybe. I mean, I don't think if Trapillo was to start, I wouldn't be shocked by any means. But I just think that the edge right now is probably Braxton Jones.
Is that a bigger question than running back right now? Like is who starting at left tackle a bigger question than how is this running back situation going to shake out?
I mean, I think they're both important. That's just my take on it. I think the better question is, what's more important in Ben Johnson's offense? Like, what's more important to him?
I'd love to know, like, the honest answer. That's such a great question. What would he say if he was being honest?
Then that tells you what the priority is, doesn't it?
I think the answer for him right now would be the left tackle. I think he's fine with the running backs as far as, like, at least I know I've got guys and I know their skill sets and exactly what they can do. I think there's way more unknown for him as a head coach right now with the left tackle situation.
I worry, if I'm in his shoes, I worry a lot less. And I feel like I have a lot more open to me if I know that I've got running backs who can attack all parts of your line.
Do they?
You have a running back who can run outside zone concept, and you have a running back that can run ISO duo of the middle. Do I think they have that enough? No.
No, they don't. You're right.
And that's how I feel. Do I at least understand who is playing left tackle? Yes.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I think because you have no idea how good Kyle Manungai is going to be. You
better have an idea. You drafted him. You waited that long to draft a running back.
Seventh round, though. I mean, you don't expect seventh rounders
bored.
To maybe even make the team sometimes. So
shout out to Charles Leno.
Yeah, Big Chuck, man. He gets the last laugh. That guy, that's for sure. Charles Leno. What about Roshan? Nobody knows if Roshan's good. I don't know if Roshan's good. He did some good things. They figured out that he could score touchdowns if you put him on the 1 yard line. You know, Ian Wheeler. Ian Wheeler's walking back through that door. Maybe he gets you something. But I agree. I think at this point, the more critical area is running back. Beyond DeAndre, like DeAndre Swift is a professional running back, even though he had a bad
that's
year.
That's what
last
I'm saying.
But who's beyond that?
You've got proven, but at least you have someone.
There is somebody.
At left tackle, you couldn't tell me who can step up and just definitely hold down the fort.
Okay. But I will say this. When I know what I know about Braxton Jones, and the few times that I've seen him make plays in space or do something different, I actually really liked what he was doing, when he wasn't just involved in being a pass protector. But what do we know is the most important thing to Ben Johnson? Pass protection. Mm-hmm. So that's a big conflict when you consider it.
Yeah, and you know, one thing we haven't talked about in so long, because it feels like it was like 2 years ago that it happened, is that, again, that in that interior of the offensive line makes everything else, while it's urgent, it makes it feel so much more comfortable knowing that you have Drew Dahlman at the center, knowing that you have Joe Tooney as your left guard.
Jonah Jackson, we're going to see if he's what he is healthy.
I think. Right. We're not the keys the mystery man out of those three. You're right.
That's Darnell Wright, baby.
Darnell Wright.
I'm not even asking questions about Darnell Wright. I'm asking my question about Darnell Wright at this point in my life is, can you catch a pass?
Wow. That's an advanced question. That's well past intro, too.
I think he's there.
Can you throw a pass? How about that?
Yeah, both.
Both. What do you think about that?
And I feel like that's fair. Like, out of him. Yes. He's done his job.
Yes. Are you guys looking forward to training camp, by the way? Are you guys, like, excited about?
Of course.
Yes and no.
Wait, why?
Because when it starts, I'm like, yo, can we play games already? That's how it goes. It's like a week
Marshall
of training
starting
camp.
Fights and joint practice. Yeah. That's what I just heard.
Yes, yes. I'll be that guy.
Chase Claypool.
Come on, man.
I'm trying to think of the last guy that was starting fights. Chase Claypool.
He's trying to fight his way out of town.
Kyle Long. Akeem Hicks. Used to love him. A good fight.
You gotta have somebody too who like just will do a little swipe every now and then, like up.
Yeah, like a little head slap.
Mess with people.
Yeah, a little head slap. Billings, Big Bill out there yelling at Caleb during his cadence.
We know Big Bill can catch a pass, no, don't we?
We saw it. Unless it was AI. I'm sick of it. AI. At it.
I think it's gonna take over.
It is. We're all dead.
No wonder you want to talk so much about the past, the Duchy. Well, before all of that happens, and Groats has taken...
Are you sure you want to walk home with me today,
Yeah,
Marshall?
I do.
You've definitely partaken in a midday show tradition with that attitude.
What is that?
Just the taking the fun out of things.
Oh, I did?
Sure. You picked up where others have left off.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Dan used to take the fun out of everything. I get it now.
Yeah, it's a time-honored tradition.
His name. It's okay.
I did earlier.
Oh, it's only one per show?
No.
I'm not going to say it again.
No, I was just trying to have fun with the concept of taking the fun out of things on a midday show. We all do it.
Yeah, we do. Bears.
You know what we didn't do?
What?
Win the U.S. Open.
Oh, yeah.
You know who did? A guy who also had a major Father's Day situation that a lot of dads and parents can relate to. We'll find out about Mr. Spahn's relatable day next on The Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Jason Leisure is here, and while he's here, we wanted to pick his Bears brain, and you brought up something in our meeting that I thought was interesting, and it's one of my favorite things to watch when I'm talking about NFL teams. It's the concept of my guy, not my guy, where the general manager might have a guy that's not necessarily the coach's guy, or the coach may have a guy that's not necessarily the general manager's guy. When it comes to my guy, not my guy with the Bears this year, is there a chance that there could be a couple of people that don't find their way to this roster that maybe thought they had a roster spot sewed up?
I don't think there's going to be anybody significant that just doesn't make the roster. That'd be pretty surprising. But there are lesser reductions that can happen. You could get your playing time or your targets or something like that cut into if you're not the coach's guy. What happens a lot of times, you see this in the NFL a lot, is you see a GM who drafted somebody has trouble admitting an error. Ryan Poles has had kind of a mixed track record on some of that. But if it's your guy that you brought in, it's very hard to ever see straight that this is not the guy. The Bears, the cure for that in this case, Lawrence, is you hire Ben Johnson. And Ben Johnson has at least 51% say, I feel like, right now. So tie goes to Ben Johnson.
I would hope.
You are bringing in, and there's not even anything controversial or wrong with that. Ryan Poles needs Ben Johnson to succeed for Ryan Poles to succeed. So Ryan Poles would be wise to kind of let it tip in Ben Johnson's favor on decisions, because Ben Johnson needs the guys he needs to make Ryan Poles also a winner. I think bringing in Ben Johnson is fresh eyes and a reset perspective on these guys that you brought in or that you extended or that you think are part of the core. And when you ask right away, you know, who are guys that Ryan Poles is really sold on that maybe Ben Johnson isn't? Well, they just drafted a tight end in the first round.
Yeah.
And they just drafted a wide receiver in the second round.
And a wide receiver in the second round that had first round grades too.
Mm-hmm.
Like it wasn't like, hey, let's just go get a wide receiver. This is a wide receiver that a lot of people thought would be a first-round pick. And that puts pressure on everyone who's there in the building.
Now, both of these guys are not going to be automatic instant contributors. So I don't think anything happens now. It's more, to me, what happens if things aren't going real well and a good offer comes across your desk at the trade deadline, or what happens after the season when Cole Kmet's contract, for example, is pretty easy to get out of after the 2025 season. You know, in the case of Kmet, tight end with Colston Loveland, I mean, that's the second hardest position to learn in the NFL after quarterback. That is a really, do you agree with that or no? Or is it, I mean, it's up there at least.
I think I would go quarterback, center, tight end.
Okay, so pretty close. We're splitting hairs. I mean, that is a hard position to come in and be really good as a rookie. It's very fortunate for Ben Johnson, whatever maybe concerns he has about Cole Kmet. That's a pretty good safety net while you teach Colston Loveland what to do. Similar story with DJ Moore. And I don't know yet whether there isn't necessarily a clear indication from Ben Johnson that he doesn't think as highly of DJ Moore as Ryan Poles does, who traded for him and extended him on a huge contract. You know, DJ Moore might not be what Ben Johnson thinks of as a number one wide receiver, having had Amon-Ra St. Brown in Detroit.
It'll be interesting to see how all of this goes, for sure. On like even I'm not as fascinated with Kyle Manungai as everyone else is.
Seventh round pick.
That's what I keep trying to tell folks, is that even though they drafted a running back, I wouldn't be shocked if he got cut. Yeah. Just because
seventh round picks get cut.
They get cut. And that doesn't mean that he won't get re-signed, but seventh round picks get cut. And there are also other cuts that go on in the NFL where they might go, oh, that guy that just got cut from New England would be a really good fit for what we do. That'll be how we fill that roster spot behind DeAndre Swift.
Or unnamed UDFA outperforms him in camp. Who knows?
Absolutely. Yeah. Like all of that stuff. The other thing that you brought up there, I want to spend some time on before we move on and talk with Spiegs in the next segment. Have you thought about what is acceptable for the Bears in the 2025 season?
I have, and it's really hard to come up with an answer, because if you look at last year, for example, this is similar in some ways to last year. Last year, you saw a roster that had been, 80 to 90% of the way built out to win now, you thought, on paper, on the depth chart, the talent that was in place. And you had a very talented quarterback coming in, but he's a rookie. And even in the best case scenario with Caleb Williams, you're thinking there's going to be some pretty choppy parts. Well, it's probably going to be that way with Ben Johnson. He's a rookie head coach. I know he's the guy that everybody has wanted in the league for the last 3 years. And the entire league would tell you, Lawrence, this guy is going to be a really good head coach. But he has never been the head coach in an NFL game. It's very rare to just walk in and have everything go perfectly from day one. He did see it pretty much here in 2018 with Matt Nagy. I mean, Matt Nagy walked in with, I don't know if people remember or realize in hindsight, that was one of the really elite defenses of the era for the NFL. That was a championship-level defense in 2018, 2019 for sure, and maybe even still contender-level defense in 2020. But 2018 and 19, that's a Super Bowl championship defense, no doubt. They didn't get there. They didn't do that much with that. They went 8-8 one of those seasons. But that is quite a luxury to walk in with.
When I look at Caleb Williams and kind of I think that he's in a really interesting space and a lot of pressure, a ton. And the Seth Wickersham stuff, I think, adds a little bit to people who don't want him to succeed. And I think there are a lot of those.
Chicago, you think?
No. Okay. No. I think most, and look.
I think this guy's beloved here.
I agree with you. I do think that there are still people that want to be right about his draft profile. And I'm sure you dealt with a lot of those people. I know I dealt with a lot of people. Folks that I've talked to in NFL or college ball that were all like, hey, you should know this about Caleb Williams. Hey, you should know this about him. Most of the people that I talked to were pretty fair and even-handed. There were some people who were not. And so when the Wickersham piece came out, I was not surprised at how many people seemed to take a little bit of delight in the fact that there was going to be some more pressure on Caleb Williams going into this season.
It does raise the pressure on him, and it is interesting and telling, and it is the first piece of bad PR for him as a Bear. However, you know, if you look at this, and this is, you know, I guess I'm kind of repeating what he said, but this is a guy who had concerns about a team that was cause for concern with quarterbacks. And in the end, decided to not do an Eli Manning power play and trusted them and came to the Bears. So it's okay to have some apprehension and some concerns. You don't usually expect I shouldn't even say it like that, because it's not like this is something that blindsided him. You don't usually make the mistake of choosing to have all of your pre-decision internal thoughts aired out publicly. Huge mistake.
I agree on that, but I also think that anyone who had anything to do with the Bears completely understood his trepidation. But you're right. What's different and unique about this is almost no one would have the athlete themselves say it. Usually it's other people saying it for him. And in the case of Carl Williams, he said a lot too. But Caleb giving voice to it, again, allowed the people that want to be right about, well, he's a diva, mm-hmm. and he just wants everything to work his way. I like that he now has a coach, and I mean this in the most altruistic way, will challenge him. My experience, and I get that this is one of the things where I'm a little biased, my experience with students who are the same age as Caleb is, and with this particular generation, they do like to be challenged. They want to know why. Like, why are you doing this? Mm-hmm. Why are you asking me to do this? And then you go, well, this is going to build this. And then that's going to build that. And by the end of it, you're going to have this as a final product. And they go, oh, okay, cool. And then, again, my experience, they run 100 miles an hour towards it. And I think Caleb is probably wired similarly. I'm already pretty good at this. Why do I need to go back to this thing? Why do I have to go back to learning how to take the snap from under center and reversing out? Well, you need to do that because that's a big part of our offense. And because we use play action a lot, it's going to open up windows and avenues for you to make throws down the field. You're going to freeze linebackers. And the more productive we can be, the better you are at the fake is going to make our offense better. And then Caleb has clearly gone, oh, got it. And now he spent time this offseason doing all of that work. So I'm looking forward to seeing how he manages this. And I like that it's Ben Johnson with him, because I really think that this is one of those things where it's a really good challenge for someone. And the hope is that it makes him better.
Yeah. And Caleb says he wants to be coached hard. So prove it, bud. Let's see that you really embrace being coached hard. And you want, which the Bears have, it's hard for me to even think of a recent time where this has been the case. You want that coach quarterback connection like Sean McVay and Matt Stafford do, like they have. You want like John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson, where there's just this complete same wavelength between your head coach and your quarterback. Mm-hmm. It's going to take some time for new coach Ben Johnson and second year quarterback Caleb Williams to get there. But, you know, I have found most of the pre-draft preconception of Caleb Williams to have been debunked by being around him, talking to people, seeing his around the organization, seeing his work. I don't see this guy as a guy who thinks he's got it all figured out. I think that there's reason to believe him when he says he wants to be coached hard. And Ryan Poles has made this point, and he was making this point as far as how he talks to players like maybe Cole Kmet or DJ Moore. I think Ryan Poles needs to be saying the same thing to himself, and Caleb Williams needs to be saying this to himself. There is nothing, Lawrence, to be precious about right now. There is nothing to hold on to and say, well, I've always done it this way, or we've always done it this way. Or if you're Ryan Poles, well, I think these guys are good. You've won 15 games the last 3 years. Is that a rookie season that Caleb Williams thinks is reflective of what he can do? Is he really proud of that? I mean, there's some good parts to that rookie season. Is that where he wanted to end up? I don't think so. And it's not all on Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron and that offensive line. There's some on holding the ball too long and not being decisive enough in the pocket and trying to play like when you're at USC, where you have all the time in the world and you have wide receivers that are better, just head and shoulders better than every DB they go against. It's not like that in the NFL ever. No matter who you're playing against, it's not like that. So There's a lot. There is nothing that anybody can hold tightly to and say, well, I don't want to change because my ways work so well. Not Ryan Poles, not Caleb Williams, not really anybody else on that roster.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome to a special edition of the Doomsday Podcast with defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus.
When a guy plays football, you know, at this level, they have a certain camera, you know, in terms of how they see the game. And, you know, some guys are fast processors and some guys, you know, are a little bit, you know, not as fast. Like Sean Lee was as fast as I've ever seen. He could process, you know, like Luke Kuechly and just boom and hit it. But that was through a lot of film study with him and I, you know, up there doing, right up here doing Breakfast Club together.
Hey, 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 hey. Sean Lee. Ooh. Oh, Sean Lee, the Cowboys linebacker, real good at reading keys. That's what he's talking about, right? Or is he talking about the quarterback, Sean Lee?
No, he's talking about the, because he coached, I'm guessing, as the linebackers coach in Dallas, he had Sean Lee.
Yeah. Okay. Because there was also, yeah, so he's talking about him. That's Matt Eberflus talking about Cowboys stuff on the Doomsday Podcast.
Yeah, it's Ed Werder's podcast.
Oh. Welcome to a special edition of the Doomsday Podcast.
So there it is. It's Ed Werder. So Matt Eberflus says yes. And then Ed Werder, because he's a damn good journalist, finds a way to get to the Bears, doesn't he?
It's all about doomsday prepping, actually. They talk a little bit football in there also.
I got an idea who their advertisers are on that, because there's plenty of those.
Flag and Anthem?
Find.
No. Oh, my bad. I just got confused.
Dump them.
Shump him.
No, but you've never heard on, like, if you're listening to like satellite stuff, though. There's all sorts of people like, this is the food will last for 25 years.
Oh, that's right. That's right. My bad. I got confused. Sorry about that.
We're glad that
you're... welcome back, man.
Welcome back. First day.
Didn't you miss me, Teddy? No? That's all right.
He did have some conversation with the boys on the Doomsday podcast about what happened last year with the Bears. Because obviously this has been a big story over the last few weeks. The Seth Wickersham piece brought to light some questions about the level of preparation that Caleb had, what role the coaching staff played in either helping him or not helping him.
Absolutely. I'd say another thing that brought about some questions is the entire season that you and I watched and the way that we were able to notice, you know, the entire team not respecting him and completely falling apart because he wouldn't speak the truth to them about what had gone wrong involving himself and everybody else.
I'm glad that you brought that up, Speaks, because one of the first things that they talked with Eberflus about was the lessons that he learned from being a head coach.
Yeah, there's a lot of things as a head coach that you don't know that are involved in the job until you become a head coach. And we just been reflecting on that. If it's with the media or if it's with, you know, PR, whatever it might be, practice schedules, you know, way to install the training camp, you know, all those things. And if I see something, I say something.
If I see something, I say something.
He means that, like, especially when he would take the red line. If you see something, say something. If you're walking the streets of Chicago and you see something, say something.
So he's clearly talking about all the crap that he allowed to happen in practice and sometimes in games and didn't call out the players to create accountability about, right?
Here's my thing, though. You're the person that people are supposed to be saying something to. And then you're supposed to do something.
Oh, yeah, you're the do something guy.
Yeah, you're not, I mean, a little
bit. It's good that you should say something to the people that are doing the thing.
If I see something, I say something.
But you're supposed to do something.
But he also didn't say something. He didn't say something or do something.
Nope, he sure didn't. So,
something never happened. Something didn't happen.
There was stuff that he didn't know. Like maybe watching the practice from the perspective of the quarterback.
But there was stuff
had to write that down in a notebook because Nick Saban told it to him on Hard Knocks.
Oh, man. There's stuff that was happening that he saw. And
take my chair, coach.
Oh, man.
I'm going to sit here and write in this notebook.
It actually makes me a little sad because, like, you get so few opportunities. He's never going to get another opportunity to be a head coach.
No, that's never happening.
That's never happening again.
But he can make a lot of, he's a
for sure
good defensive coordinator.
Absolutely.
And can make a lot of money doing it.
Absolutely. But like, I would like to think if you had one shot that you would make a point to like try and really speak the truth and try to hold people accountable and really be a good forthright leader, you know?
Well, here's the thing about him. He's clearly a little awkward. And being a positional leader or even a DC seems to fit his personality a little bit better than being a head coach. Now, maybe if he had gotten an opportunity earlier, then there could be some building of it.
I mean, you're bringing up a key point, which I think you and I have grown to know is always the key. What are you as a person? What is your comfort level as a person when it comes to communicating and leading? And he's a little awkward. He's just not comfortable with himself.
Here's what he said about what he noticed being different in Dallas.
I was gone for 7 years, you know, and then came back. And when I came back, what I recognized was how great the communication is, you know, in the draft room, in free agency, and it's and with Jerry and with Steven and with the entire Jones family. You know, during the draft process, it's one position, you know, one day, and Mr. Jones and Stephen Jones are in there, Will McClay, with the position coach, with the coordinator, and of course with Shotty's in there the whole time, and going over every single player, you know, and then whittling it down and then slotting the board, and that's why, you know, our draft was pretty darn good. Same thing with the free agency, which comes first, as you guys know, but It was a great process. You know, the coaches wrote reports. They were able to speak their mind. You know, see something, say something.
Man,
so that's a thing now.
See something, say something. So like the communication, and just the whole process. And we've talked about how the Bears are now setting that stuff up, and did so this offseason with Ben and with Ryan Poles working on it together.
The thing is, Matt, it was your job to set that up.
Right.
And you didn't. So now you're realizing what it could have been and should have been.
Yeah. And that's too bad. But here's the meat, though. This is what people who are listening to that from a Bears fan perspective might be interested in. So that there was the Seth Wickersham piece where Caleb talked about the difficulty he had with leaving the facility and not really being given guidance on how to watch film. This is what Eberflus said about that.
One of the experiences you had last year in Chicago was you had Hard Knocks on your campus and in your building. And it seemed to me, as a viewer, that you spent an inordinate amount of time, given that you're a defensive coach, or that's your background, with the number one pick in the draft quarterback, Caleb Williams. And yet recently, Caleb Williams was quoted criticizing the fact that nobody watched film with him last year. You're the head coach. How do you respond to that?
Well, first and foremost, Hard Knocks, they do a great job. They really do. They stay out of the way.
Because they're going to be here this year.
They are. And I've been telling the whole staff up there that they do a wonderful job. They stay out of the way, very professional. But back to your other question about, you know, the film watching and all that, I would say this, that, you know, in the development of the quarterback position and really all positions, at my time at the Bears, we've always had daily coached film sessions. That was out through the entire year. So that's what I observed, and that's where it was.
It was interesting that Nick Saban, who you played for and was seen, made the suggestion to any head coach should develop a unique rapport with his quarterback, right. And it seemed from what we saw that was certainly happening.
Yeah, and again, that's really all I have to say about it, but yeah, that's where it is.
Sorry Ed brought that up.
If you're using Hard Knocks as the thing that's helping you determine what was going on with the Bears, I question Ed in that. He's a better journalist than that.
Hmm.
To use that snippet of what we know was an absolutely manicured Hard Knocks to tell you what it is. The other part that I don't particularly like, and I'm a fan of Ed and what he does, is Caleb didn't say that no one watched film with him. That's not the quote. Caleb was talking about not being given a direction on when watching film by himself.
It's a very, very different thing.
Yes, and it's important to lay out that difference.
Yeah. That's lazy in terms of Caleb judgments.
Yes, it's not fair to Caleb.
Yeah, I agree. We have one more from Matt Eberflus, where apparently he gave us a misspeak, something for the books from the pod.
You have to play this game with passion, and it's controlled violence, and you got to be able to have that. And that's the special sauce that you have as a football team and then doing it together.
Wait, I need to hear that
special
again.
Special sausage you have?
Is it special sausage or special?
And that's the special sausage.
Okay.
Wait, sauce that you have. You think you said special sausage? I used to
you
love.
You have to play this game with passion, and it's controlled violence, and you got to be able to have that. And that's the special sausage you have as a football team and then doing it together.
Who is he, Abe Froman? What do we got here?
See, he spent time here and he became the sausage king of Chicago.
And that's the special sausage.
I used to love G-Love and special sausage back in the day. My baby got sausage. Your baby ain't sweet like mine. My baby got sausage. I think, is he saying sauce that, but he's just a bad enunciator?
I do think the words are probably sauce coming that. Together, but it does sausage. Sound like special sausage.
And that's the special sausage.
I like ones that have garlic in them, sausages, and sometimes cheese.
Oh, my God. I had some from Mariano's yesterday. Threw them on the smoker. It was Italian sausage with jardiniere stuffed in there. No room for any of my shoes. They're all my sausage.
Was
my
it special sausage. Was it special? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Father's Day. Yeah.
Send some to Flus. Send some to Flus because he needs special sausage.
And that's the special sausage.
It really is.
So there's Matt Eberflus, and that's how he feels about all these things, and they made a nice soft bed for him to talk to him.
So, Lawrence, this kid on Arkansas, this pitcher, Gage Wood, just now in the College World Series, threw a no-hitter in the College World Series.
Taylor McGregor is going crazy right now.
He struck out 19 people in a no-hitter. His last pitch, pitch 119, was at 97 miles per hour. No-hitter in the College World Series. And they let him go a buck 19 to finish it in the College World Series. I support the decision by the manager.
I support it, too. It's not like what it was back in the 90s and early aughts. Go look up what Brooks Kieschnick pitched, his pitch count in the College World Series. It was disgusting. Like, it was abuse. This was not. This was perfect.
Yeah. I mean, that is tremendous. What an appearance. And with the MLB draft upcoming, I think Gage Woods' stock is only going to rise.
Cubs or White Sox, don't get another guy named Gage. That did not work out well for you.
His nickname Tater?
Yeah.
Marshall's all in, if so.
It's true. What's your most favorite or interesting non-Caleb story at Bears?
It's pretty good. That is pretty, pretty good. I look for the pass rush opposite Montez Sweat. I'm going to give Montez Sweat the benefit of the doubt that he can bounce back and return to the form that we saw him have in 2023 before he was injured for most of 24. But they have to figure out what happens opposite him. I know they've invested a pretty chunk of change into Odangbo, and they're hoping that works out. And he had a ton of pressures and hurries out in Indy, and he's hoping to turn those into sacks while he's on the same line with Montez Sweat and Grady Jarrett and the others. So they're hoping for that, but that's not a known thing, right? They're hoping there's another step for Austin Booker. That's not a known thing. Every time we see Dominique Robinson in shorts and T-shirts, he dominates. We heard Coach Johnson talk about how great he's looked in minicamp, and Dominique Robinson is going to look that way because he is a freakish athlete with great size and speed and athleticism. When the pads come on, you hope that he can maintain that level of play. But again, that's a hope. Booker's a projection, and so is Odangbo. They don't know they're going to be able to consistently get that pass rush they need from the other side. You're talking about a defense that's going to move to a lot of man coverage. Jalen Johnson, Tyreek Stevenson, like, I don't want them to have to play man coverage for 4.5, 5, 6 seconds. If the ball's coming out in 2.5, 3 seconds, then I feel great about both of those dudes. Can we get that consistent pass rush? And right now, I'm looking for it to come together as we go through summer and preseason.
Yeah, I would have said before you took it, basically, was Dennis Allen, you know, and how he'll use these pieces that Matt Eberflus had that were looking pretty good. Can he do it better? But all those defensive ends that you mentioned other than Sweat, those are like the prototypical Bears defensive end of the last 10 years, where it's guys that it's a fifth round pick. Oh, just trust us. He looks great in practice. Or it's a guy like Odangbo where like he only gets 4 or 5 sacks. Yep. But they're, oh, he's playing a lot better than the numbers show. Like, I mean, man, we know who the good pass rushers are. We don't have to have explanations and qualifiers.
Yeah.
Like, no one has to say that about Myles Garrett.
Right.
No one's like, you know, he's playing better than you guys. Well, no, we know because we see all the sacks. I think I would say the running back situation because Ben Johnson is really going to lean on, or want to at least, lean on running the ball, and they've done very little at that position. And they have committed significant money to DeAndre Swift. And what we saw last year, there is the high potential for those big plays, but that's not it. The way he played last year, that's not it for anybody in their running game. And it's definitely not going to be it for Ben Johnson. And Ben Johnson has history with him. So I don't know, can Ben Johnson and Eric Bieniemy get DeAndre Swift at his size and at his disposition to play the way that they need him to?
Yeah, to take those tough 3.5, 4 yards. I'm not as down on him as some people are. And I remember having a conversation with him about this in the locker room during last season. He was like, yeah, I hear those things and I don't understand why because I'm willing to hit it up in there. I want to ask.
But he doesn't do that. Because I've had the same conversation with him where DeAndre Swift will tell you exactly what you think he should be saying, which is, I will do whatever they need me to do. But then you watch the games and that's not what happens.
I asked him that last week. I asked him about that last week and he got a little defensive with me. And I was like, bro, I don't even feel that way. I don't know why you're being so defensive with me. I've had this conversation with you. I don't necessarily feel that you can't do those things. But the narrative is out there, and I just want to know if it motivates you at all. But anyway, like, I don't know why he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt that Caleb got, that Rome got, that DJ and Cole got, because everybody's numbers were down because that offensive line was terrible, and the system and the structure was in a state of disarray from start to finish. And I think that if we're going to say, well, that gives Caleb room to grow, or that gives Cole room to get back to, you know, the 7-touchdown season, or DJ and room to grow, then I think that has to be true about DeAndre as well. He's running behind that same offensive line that Caleb was playing behind, and there's a cumulative effect. Just like there's a cumulative effect of taking 68 sacks and you start to see things that may or may not be happening, there's a similar effect when you're the running back and you're like, this is where the track should be, this is where the hole should be. Oh, it's closed. Let me try to bounce this thing or do something else. Eventually, you start to have some times where maybe it actually was there and you should have hit it in there, but you didn't trust it. So you're kind of pattering your feet a little bit. And certainly he was guilty of that, and that's on him. But it's just kind of natural when you keep running your head into a wall. It's like, no, Nate Davis is not going to open up this hole for me. So let me just try to bounce.
Nate it's
Davis.
Interesting. It's like seeing, it's kind of a different, it's a running back's version of seeing ghosts.
Yeah,
kind of
exactly.
What you're saying.
And it's an unknown, coaches, though. I've heard coaches say, give me the respect of getting to the line of scrimmage.
Sure.
And then do what you got to do. Give the play the respect of the hole supposed to be the B gap.
Yeah.
Run to the B gap.
You got 4-yard runs. You got 6-yard runs. You got some runs you think Mike could take it the distance, right? But if I call a play that's a 4-yard run, get me my 4. After that, you want to bounce it. You want to do whatever you want to do. Go crazy. You want to jump over guys and spin, which I hate to jump over guys. But you want to do all that stuff, do it. But you better get the 4 first. And I think if DeAndre Swift can focus on that, and I think Coach Bieniemy will get him to buy into that, or someone else will be in the game, then I think he'll be okay.
Herb, we appreciate you stopping in and hanging out with us, man. We really, truly appreciate it.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thanks for having
me. Yeah, Herb Howard is great. Everyone over at It's the Bigs, like if you're not hip to what they're doing, like, from a cultural standpoint, they are one of the most important media entities in Chicago. And the great coverage that they provide, whether it's local high school stuff or the stuff that Herb's doing with the Bears, clearly they have been in the news over the last 24 hours in Chicago because of the Bulls coverage that's going on. This group of people, they're doing a wonderful job. So please support It's the Bigs and Herb Howard for sure. Jason Leisure is in for Speegs. We're going to get some sort of answers. I got like 5 more people in my weather roster that I'm going to text to see if they can jump on and tell us. But when we come back, we're going to audible a little bit, Tanny. Leisure had an experience that he's been dying to tell us about. So I'm going to allow for him to do that as we track down whether or not the Cubs game is going to happen. It's a Spiegel and Holmes show. Jason Leisure in for Speaks here on The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up. Going up. But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button. Going down. We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.